I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on patreon.com/FU Network TV and through PayPal at funetworktv@gmail.com. Drop us a few bucks. Don't be a freeloader. And now, here's your show.
Now, let's listen.
And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
Good morning, everyone. It is Michelle Badusky coming to you on Kick FM Radio, Ed the Sock's FU Network, or on SoundCloud, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you are joining me. Thank you. I love having you here. And it is morning where I am. It's about 5:30 a.m. I just got to my fitness studio for morning class and wanted to share some thoughts with you before I started my day, because I woke up thinking this and I thought it was really an interesting perspective. So for those of you who don't know, I live in Rivers, Manitoba. And just this past week, we had a really interesting, or I guess it was past 2 weeks, we had a really interesting thing happen here in our town. We had some really heavy rains in the Westman region. Westman means Western Manitoba. For those of you joining me outside of Manitoba, outside the area, and of course, my international listeners, thank you. I love having you. So we had some really heavy rains a couple weeks ago, a lot of flooding. Some of the towns around us, Minnedosa, Rapid City, got heavily damaged with floodwaters. Some of the homes here in our community, not mine, my house and my business were spared, but some of my friends had a lot of water damage in their basements, sewer backups, and all of this extra water put some serious pressure on the dam that's just outside of town. And the powers that be between the town and the province jumped on this, and I got to commend them. They did an amazing job. They jumped on it really quick because they were afraid that the dam was damaged. I shouldn't say it had damaged. They were afraid that it was damaged, but because the water levels were so high, higher than they'd ever been, unprecedented levels of water, they were worried that the stress on the dam would be too much, and until they can ensure that it was safe, they evacuated all of the people that lived along the river. I know it's a little bit more complicated than that, you know, with the levels and stuff like that. But generally, that's what they did, is they, anyone who was downstream of that dam that would have their property or their homes or their lives at danger, if the dam broke, they evacuated. And until the water receded enough for the province to come in, probe the dam and determine it was safe. Yesterday, it was determined to be safe. No damage was had. And all of these evacuees got to go back home. Now, it's been interesting because I know a lot of the people that were evacuated, you know, it's a small town, and we were talking about it, you know, how terrible it would be to basically get a phone call in the middle, you know, of the day or night. I don't know. It was late when they found out. It was like 9-10 o'clock at night, I think. And that you just had to like pack up and leave. That's it. You had to pack up and leave your home because it might be in danger. Now, we're very fortunate here in the town of Rivers. I know for those of you living in big centers, you can't imagine what it would be like to live in a town that doesn't have a hotel or anything like that. But our hotel here in Rivers just recently opened up. It actually recently opened up, like, I think January, February, just before the pandemic hit. So most of the people that were evacuated were able to find accommodations right here in town. So they got to continue to go to work, operate their businesses, or they joined family, friends. So even though it was a terrifying time that they weren't sure if their houses were going to be spared, a lot of people I know had to move livestock that was in danger. So there was a lot of work and a lot of uncertainty. And they lived in fear of what would happen for, I think it was a week, maybe just over a week, of whether or not this dam would burst. You know, we were lucky that during this time, we didn't get any more heavy rains to put more pressure on the bridge. And I got to give it to our town, our municipality and our province. They jumped on it. They closed roads, whatever they had to do to ensure the safety of these people in their homes. They did. Because you know what, if the dam burst, houses can be repaired. People can't. And, you know, that was most important. And I made a comment, kind of like my comments about the pandemic, if you've been following me, where I said that if we do it right, it will look like we overreacted. And that's kind of the goal in these emergency circumstances, is to make it look like we overreacted. And what I mean by that is that if you do it right, you will be so prepared that the effects won't be felt as great. So it will look like you overreacted. But in reality, if you did nothing or you did less and the worst happened, people's lives, people's property, you know, people would be at risk. And it's very similar to the pandemic. And we're seeing that in Manitoba right now because we are down to one active case of COVID. We haven't had an act or a new case of COVID announced in 13 days, which is yay, Manitoba. And a lot of people are using that as an excuse to say, see, we overreacted. We don't need all these restrictions. I have seen, and this drives me nuts, and I have been very, very outspoken about this. I have seen some business people and some political figures or media figures in our area in Manitoba being very outspoken now. I guess they were kind of always outspoken about how they did not want all these COVID precautions. They thought Manitoba public health was being overreacting. You know, we can't shut down the economy. You know, the financial cost is too high because not enough people have died yet, that kind of thing. And it's the same idea. We are down to one active case. We haven't seen any new cases because of the precautions we're taking, because we shut down non-essential businesses, because we're opening slowly, because we have physical distancing rules in place. We have been doing so well because of these things. And we are blessed with this geography that puts us in the middle of the province without a lot of, you know, international travel, without a lot of tourism. Our population is extremely dense in Winnipeg. So for those of you who are joining me internationally, I did the math on this. So this is general, just general. But the province of Manitoba is 1/6 six times the geographical size of the state of Florida. So physically, we're almost six times bigger than the state of Florida. Except we only have 1 million people, just over 1 million people are in our entire province, and 3/4 of them are located in one city of Winnipeg. I want you to think about that. We only have that many people. The city of Brandon, the closest city that I'm located to, only has about 60,000 people. Now, the United States has over 45,000 new cases of COVID every day. The state of Florida, you know, because they're so population dense, even though they're 1/6 the size of us, they have something like 30 times the people, right? I don't know what it is. Someone check that. I think it's like 30 million, whatever. So they have so many people packed in there that everything is so dense. And we're seeing all these outbreaks and we're seeing, you know, the way the United States is handling it, the way they're denying the disease, the way they're fighting for their personal rights over the public health. We're seeing all of that. And here in Manitoba, I'm seeing, and not just Manitoba, all across the provinces, you know, Ontario, Ed the Sock. If you haven't checked out the FU Network, where Ed the Sock actually went to Queen's Park in Ontario, I think it's Toronto. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, but where he actually went and was talking to the protesters who are protesting public health orders. And it's freaking hilarious. So if you haven't seen that video, by all means, go check it out on the FU Network, funetwork.tv. Now, lately, you know, and I don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't get why you would protest wearing a mask. I don't get why you would protest doing something that is in the best interest of public health. I don't get why you would fight an evacuation order when, you know, the danger is there. Even though it may not happen, it's better to be prepared. And that's the same thing that we've seen with COVID. And one thing that really kind of got under my skin last week, and believe it or not, you know, I can get pretty feisty. People always think it's really interesting. I get this weird concept when people find out that I'm a yoga instructor, that I teach meditation, that I'm actually, you know, a very... Not much gets to me, really. Like, I'm pretty calm. I can get pretty, you know, heated when we're debating, you know, politics and we're talking about that. And I'm passionate. But it doesn't really get to me. It's not like, you know, you call me a name on the internet and I'm crying in the corner. Nothing much gets to me. I've had a very interesting life, and it's, you know, one of those things that if that's the worst thing that's happened to me today, I've got a blessed life. So people find it really interesting that I do all these things and I'm really deep down this kind of calm, practical person. And yet this really got under my skin because I saw a media personality, I guess. I don't know if you could call him a celebrity, because we have such a low population, but I guess a local celebrity, media personality, who jumped on this protesting bandwagon using his social media platform. It was actually one of the most insensitive things I think I've seen locally anyways. Although I did see one business person who actually went on a huge social media rant demanding that all the businesses get together and refuse to follow social media or social protocols and physical distancing and the laws put in place. She demanded that everybody do this so that I think her idea was that if none of us followed it, they couldn't actually fine and prosecute all of us, that the shutdown was absolutely ridiculous. It was hurting her business. It was hurting their income. And this is just a hoax anyways. And then she went on this anti-vax rampage, whatever it needs to say. Needless to say, I've lost all respect for that business and that business person, but that's a whole different story. My point is here is this media personality actually went on this rant and rave about, he compared the fact that Manitoba has only had 7 deaths from COVID to the fact that we have seen an increase in traffic deaths here in Manitoba this year. We have lost 10 people in Manitoba due to traffic accidents, 10 people more than we did compared to the year before. And he used that as this mocking way of saying, well, you know what, if we've seen 10 extra deaths, then maybe we need to institute physical distancing protocols for drivers. Maybe we need to shut down the economy because drivers are unsafe, and so forth, which I thought was one of the most disrespectful things I've seen yet, because it absolutely paid no attention to those 7 people who did die from COVID here in Manitoba, their families, their friends, the healthcare workers, the healthcare systems. And it paid absolutely no respect to them. It's like they were an afterthought. It's like, ah, only 7 people died. They don't matter. Let's, you know, get haircuts, which we can hear, by the way, in Manitoba. So I don't know what the hell the people are still bitching about, because we can do just about anything. I've been teaching in my fitness studio for well over a month now. Do I have less people in my class? Yep. But you know what? I actually like the smaller classes. I don't make as much money, but I give a better service. I might actually keep them this small even when restrictions are limited. That's me. It's like, okay, this isn't so bad. You know, let's look at the silver lining. But people are still bitching about it, even though we are practically wide open. I could go get my nails done. I haven't. I've chosen not to. I am, you know, throughout all of this, I've shared with you that my youngest son does have asthma, and we've been concerned about him. He's been very healthy through the whole pandemic. But just in September, he actually came down with pneumonia out of nowhere. He had no signs, no symptoms. He didn't have a cold, didn't have a flu. He just suddenly basically stopped breathing well. And we took him to the hospital, and it took them 2 days to diagnose pneumonia in him because he had no other symptoms. They called it walking pneumonia. And he was actually hospitalized on oxygen for over 5 days in isolation. And that was in September. So if you think I'm going to take a risk of exposing him to something like COVID just because I can make a few extra bucks, or my nails need to get done, or, you know, you can see the roots of my hair is going back to black. Hell no. Absolutely hell no. And you know what? If that means, like this evacuation, that I'm being overreacting, that I'm being overcautious, I would rather be overcautious and have a healthy child and lose money than be undercautious, make money, and lose a child. And this is how people are making these comparisons, because it isn't personally affecting them. They are dismissing the importance of what the effect is on other people, like this evacuation that we had here locally. Now, it doesn't sound like a big deal. It really doesn't. But it was interesting to see the reactions of other people that were not evacuated. I heard stories of one person who actually was confronted by someone in town that was, you know, complaining that they had, you know, enough money to pay their own hotel room and stuff and that they shouldn't be evacuated on taxpayer dollars. I don't even know if the taxpayer dollars paid for the hotel. I don't give a shit if they did and they were forced to leave their homes. We should have some kind of emergency fund to pay that. It doesn't matter how much income you have, right? This is kind of like that whole COVID argument about CERB. Oh, if you have this much money, you shouldn't get this. And it's this way of kind of quantifying or qualifying people based on our own standards of living or our own ideologies. It's like, if you're forced to evacuate, you should receive the help regardless of your financial situation or regardless of your what people perceive. Nobody knows how much money someone has. No one knows what they can afford. And yet there's this perception of, oh, you're rich. Because I get that all the time. I think that's hilarious. People talk to me like I'm some, you know, wealthy mogul. And it's hilarious because people have no idea how other people live financially, just looking from the outside. But that's what happened here in our town. And I thought, wow, is that ever strange, right? And I heard other stories of people, this was a big one, people who just did not believe there was a danger. And I keep, you know, that's what I was thinking about walking here this morning, was this comparison of what happened here locally to people's reactions for the pandemic is that they didn't believe there was a real risk. It's like, oh, the dam's not going to go. It's never gone. But it could have. And what if we weren't, you know, what if we weren't prepared? What if the town didn't evacuate? What if the province didn't come in and probe and the dam did go and there was loss of life? What then? This inconvenience, and yes, I know I have, my heart goes out to my friends that were evacuated and spent, you know, a week in this kind of flux of not knowing. I get it. It was awfully inconvenient. It was heartbreaking. It was stressful. I am blessed that I wasn't affected, but I could have been. It was terrible for them to not know, not be able to return to their homes. But it was just that, and now they're home. And it was much better than staying there, denying that there was a risk, and losing everything. And that's what this whole thing is about, is preparing for the risk so that there is no loss of life. Because life is precious. And these people that were denying that this dam could break were amazing to watch. I went for a walk. I like to get up early, you know, before my kids. A couple days a week, I teach fitness classes here in the studio at 6:30 in the morning. But even if it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, I like doing something active first thing in the morning to set me up for the day. A little bit of physical activity, meditation, whatever. It's important for me to kind of set my day up for success. I plan for success. And during this evacuation, the bridge was closed. There's only, you know, I guess there's only two ways to access our town going south towards the city. And one of them was closed because it was right on the path of the dam. And you could see the high waters and things like that. And the amount of bitching and complaining I saw on social media about the inconvenience of this dam being closed because you then had to go the other way around, which I think is maybe an extra 10 minutes of driving. We live about 30, 35 minutes outside of Brandon. So this maybe took you 45 minutes so that you didn't go over the bridge because if the water rose, if the dam broke, the bridge was gone. It was a precaution to save lives and people were bitching about it because it was inconvenient. These are people in my own town. So yes, I know I'm going to get some flack for that, but come on. It was a slight inconvenience to save lives. And not just that, it was to protect the workers that were actually, you know, probing the dam, watching the bridge, all of those things. They were there. So that extra traffic is not needed. You know, I have a friend of mine who almost lost her husband on a road crew not too long ago that actually, I think it was just a couple days ago. We're on a road crew because people did not follow the signs and felt the rules didn't apply to them and went the wrong way down this, this emergency shoot for road construction and actually caused an accident and almost cost lives because they felt the rules didn't apply to them. They didn't think it was that big of a deal. These rules are in place for something. They're there for a reason. People with the expertise, people with the knowledge are putting these rules in place to protect us. And yet, because we have a social media platform, we somehow think we are exempt from the rules or somehow we know more. And that's kind of where I was going with my tirade about the people, the businesses, the politicians, whatever have you, that have these big platforms. The bigger your platform, the more people that you have listening to you, watching you, following you, the bigger your responsibility is to those people. And to undermine the experts in any field, whether we are talking about something like dams and road construction and road crews or a global pandemic, to undermine those experts because you've got a voice is absolute bullshit. Do not I know anything about dam construction and bridges and water levels? No. I know absolutely nothing about it. When they said that they were probing the dam, I had to ask a lot of questions of my husband, who knows more than I do, because I had no idea what they were talking about. I didn't pretend to know nothing. I waited for them to do it. I watched for the report. I celebrated going, yes, everyone can go home. The dam is safe. Our community is not going to have to do this. And because they're the experts. Just because I have a social media platform doesn't mean I'm suddenly an expert in dam construction or road construction or global pandemics, right? It doesn't mean suddenly I can tell those people with the expertise, knowledge, and training what to do. I don't know any better than anybody else on Facebook when it comes to global pandemics. I've never once told someone, you know, medically what they should do. What I said is they should follow the rules. They should follow the advice of the experts because they're the ones with the knowledge, the training, the education, the experience, and not just, you know, someone says, well, I have a friend who's a doctor and he says this. It's like, that's fine. You can have random doctors think and believe everything they want, but it's those doctors, those immunologists, those experts that are working on this case globally, the ones with the access to the data, the ones with the access to the case studies, the information on this case, the research, the science. They're the ones that are making the decisions. It's not a political thing. It's not conservative versus liberal. All the liberals shut down the country. No, they didn't. Whatever freaking government was in power should have followed the same advice from the health experts because it's not political. It's a matter of public health. When they don't, we see what happens in the United States when you get politicians that put their own reelection interests and their own financial interests ahead of public health. That's what we see. We see 150,000 dead. That's what we see. That's Trump-style politics. That's not what's happening here in Canada. This isn't a political thing. The political thing are, you know, the programs in place to help, the financial benefits, those types of things. That comes down to politics. But the shutting down the public health, you know, notices and orders, that is not political. That is medical. And same thing with this dam, same thing with this bridge. This wasn't an inconvenience. This wasn't our town council going, oh, we just want to make a power play, so we're going to flex our muscles and show you what we can do. That's not what this was about. They were relying on the information of experts that there was possible danger. And we react to possible danger to prevent it. We don't react afterwards. How stupid would that be? If all of a sudden we ignored all the information, because, you know, just take that for a minute, because this is what happened down south. I'm going to give you all the warnings that I can, but you're going to ignore it because it doesn't serve your purpose and you don't want to be inconvenienced. And then when something happens, who do you blame? Well, if you're Trump, you blame everybody else. But for here, if our town would have ignored, if our mayor and council would have ignored these public health or these recommendations by the province to shut down the bridge, shut down our waterways and evacuate these homes, and the worst would have happened, they would have had to live with the loss of life because they didn't want to inconvenience people. So my hat's off to Mayor Gill and all of the councilors here in Riverdale Municipality for actually being proactive and putting people's well-being and the safety of our town and our residents ahead of other people's bitching and complaining about inconveniences. And for those of you who were, come on, think about what you're doing here. Think about using your platform to belittle people who died from this disease because you think it's a joke. Or, you know, calling on businesses to put other people's lives at risk because you want to make money. That's what these protests come down to. That's what happens when you use your platform. That's what happens when you deny the risk because it's inconvenient to you. When did we become a society of people so selfish that we are willing to risk the safety of others for profit or convenience? I mean, people protesting getting haircuts, people protesting wearing masks. Now, I'll be honest, I don't wear a mask in public. I think it's because we have such a low caseload here in Manitoba, and I'm not in heavily, I don't come in close contact with people that I can't physically distance from. I'm very specific about that. But if I was living in Toronto and masks were mandatory and that was the rule, and yes, I am talking to you, Andrew Scheer and Brian Pallister, wear a fucking mask. You're not above the rules. None of us are. Just because it's inconvenient to you doesn't mean the rules don't apply. Lots of times I don't like wearing a seatbelt. I find it inconvenient. But you know what? I wear a seatbelt. Why? Because of what might happen. Do I get into a vehicle and not buckle my kids in? Even though that's a rule, because I think it's an infringement on my personal rights and I should get to choose how much risk that I put my kids at? Well, I guess if I was an asshole, I would. But I'm not. And I'd rather follow the rules that are put in place by those who know more than I do, with more information than I do, than to be convenienced. And that's the big thing. We're fighting for convenience here. We're arguing over conveniences. We're putting our own convenience, our own profit. And profit, money, is a convenience. We are so freaking privileged in this province and in this country that we forgot what it's really like. Think about those people that were evacuated. What if our whole town had to be evacuated and we all had, you know, an hour to pack up our most important possessions, our children, our pets, and just leave because the dam burst and a flood was coming in? We'd be refugees. We would be refugees in our own country. And God forbid it was a bigger thing than that. Maybe we'd be refugees and we'd have to leave our province, you know, a bigger natural disaster, a war, forcing us from our homes with nothing but the clothes on our back. That's how close we all are. You know, and when we turn and look at, you know, the inconvenience of helping our neighbors or helping those in need because it doesn't personally affect us, we need to stop and realize how privileged we are. If this disease is not personally affecting you, if you are not personally affected by natural disasters or wars or something that forces you from your home, how privileged are you? It doesn't mean those things don't exist for others just because they don't exist for you. And being inconvenienced in order to protect the health, safety, and lives of other people, small price to pay. And if you actually look at it that way, are you willing to look me in the eye or come on my social media platform and say, you know what? Other people's lives don't matter as much as my money or my convenience? I look forward to talking to you because that will be one hell of a conversation. Until next week, I'm Michelle Baduski, keeping it real.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Baduski. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
This is fun! The FU Network.